We make sure everybody mutes their line. And Ashley, can you start the recording?
Yes, the recording has started.
Great, thanks. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone. Welcome to the new GTLD Subsequent Procedures PDP Subgroup A call held on Thursday, the 6th of December, 2018. In the interest of time, there will be no roll call. Attendance will be taken by the Adobe Connect room. If you're only on the audio bridge at this time, could you please let yourself be known now? Okay, I just want to remind everyone to please state your name before speaking for recording purposes, and please keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid any background noise. And with this, I will turn it over to Robin Gross. Please begin.
Hi, this is Robin. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, perfect. Thank you.
Okay, terrific. Great, and thanks to everyone who showed up for today's meeting. And let me quickly go over the agenda. The usual business of the agenda and updating SOIs, and then discussion of public comment. We will finish up the predictability section, which is 2.2.2, and go into the clarity of application process, which is 2.2.2.2, and if there's time, get started with application assessed in rounds, and then any other business. And so that's our agenda today. Anybody have any questions or comments on that? Okay, not seeing or hearing anyone, let's press forward. Is there anyone who would like to update their statement of interest? Okay, don't see or hear anyone. Let's move on then and get into the discussion of public comment. I should have mentioned earlier, as many of you probably are aware, today's call is a 90-minute call, as will be next week's, just so you're cognizant of that as we go through these materials. Okay, so let's get started with the section 2.2.2 predictability, which we left off in the middle of before. I think we left off down on row number 27, which is 2.2.2E3, and that's a question that was asked to the community as follows. A component of the predictability framework includes the identification or criteria to determine whether an issue can be handled through existing mechanisms or whether it can or should be handled by a standing IRT. What are potential criteria that can be applied to help distinguish between types of issues and resolution mechanisms? Okay, so that was the particular question that we're about to get started on that was answered in public comments. And what have we got here? We've got a lot of new ideas. As you can see, there's a number of comments here that all came in with new ideas. There's one from the brand registry group, and under that is one from ALAC, and then one from the business constituency and the registry stakeholder group. And so I thought we'd all sort of treat these very similarly, at least in our discussion today, which is that we would move those to the full working group for discussion, as these are new ideas, new suggestions that came out in the public comment. And you can see, what that specific suggestion was. And so those would go back to the full working group for their analysis. Does anyone have any thoughts on that? Or did you want to go through these particular ones individually, or are we pretty much satisfied that these are all sort of a new, can be grouped together as new ideas to be passed on to the full working group? Anyone have any thoughts on this? Okay, I see in the chat box, Jim Prender guest has typed, that makes sense. The question did ask for new ideas, and we got them. Fair enough. Okay, and Kathy Kleiman has her hand up. Kathy, please go ahead. You have the floor.
Thank you, Robin. This may be a silly question, but I'm still fairly new to the processes. When there are new ideas, how and I know this isn't a safety question, but how are they going to be treated, and then how do they go back out to the community? Because new ideas, by definition, are ones that the whole community hasn't commented on. Don't want to take us, you know, completely off course, but just kind of wanted to see the umbrella of everything. Thanks.
Yeah, that's totally fair. I think it really depends on what the particular idea is. I mean, all of these new ideas go back to the full working group for discussion in terms of how did it relate to the questions that was asked before and to what extent do we want to carry that forward into the next rendition of the report or not. So I think, again, it's going to be really, it'll depend on what that new idea is and the extent to which it's a wildly new idea or something that just kind of gets us a little closer to where we're trying to get anyways with respect to consensus. I see Jeff's got his hand up. Jeff, please, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. And I think as we go through some of these new ideas, there may be patterns that emerge, and I'm not necessarily talking about these specific ones because I can't remember them off the top of my head, but there are, again, our job is going to be to present an analysis of the comment to the full working group in terms of are these ideas that the initial report had suggested, is there generally support, is there general divergence, is there support but certain things around the edges like or concerns with it, and then it's ultimately up for the full group. So all these new ideas will be presented in some fashion to the full working group, but that doesn't necessarily mean that all the new ideas are going to go out to the community. There's, it's going to be up to the full working group to see what it wants to adopt or not adopt or get more information on. So really at this point, it's just our job to present these to the full community. And like I said, if some of these new ideas have patterns, like maybe there's three groups out of the four that suggest something very similar, then that obviously has more weight and that could be presented in a certain way to the full working group. So as Robin said, it is kind of a case-by-case basis, but ultimately it's up to the full group to decide whether it should go out for further comment.
Thanks, Jeff. Did you say you thought we should go through these particular comments one by one and discuss the new idea? I just want to make sure I understand what you said. Or were you talking about the full working group doing that?
Well, I don't think we should this is Jeff. I don't think we should discuss the merits of whether we like them or not, but are there any patterns with the four, I think there are four, right? With these four comments, is there anything that ties them together, or are they just completely new, polar opposite? So while I'm not sure we necessarily need to drill down every comment and say, yeah, this sounds like a good idea or not, because that's not really our job, but without kind of looking at them a little bit closer, we have to look at it a little bit closer to see if there are any patterns. Do some of the groups have similar ideas or are they on the opposite end of the spectrum? We have to kind of give the full working group that kind of analysis. And they may be four completely new ideas on completely different subjects. I don't remember.
Okay, no problem. So let's take a closer look at these four comments. Line 28 is from the Brand Registry Group, and their new idea, their suggestion is providing guidance for criteria to determine whether an issue be handled through existing mechanisms. So any new issues arising could be considered on a case-by-case basis and, where possible, use existing mechanisms to resolve. The resulting actions, lessons learned should feed into a continuous improvement program for the new GTLD application. Okay, and again, that was the suggestion coming in from the Brand Registry Group. And then if we go below that to line 29, which is the ALAC comment on this question, the idea here that they put forward is providing guidance on issues for resolution by the standing IRT. There's a list of criteria post-launch issues for resolution that the standing IRT would include. Yes, go ahead. I'm sorry, did somebody say something?
I think someone's
okay.
line was open.
Sorry about that. Okay, sorry about that. Let me go back to where we were here on line 29 on the ALEC comment. So the criteria that they suggest would be whether an issue is one is a one-off occurrence, how urgent is the action or decision that needs to be resolved, or how badly does the gap in the law need to be addressed, and who or the number of parties that would be affected by a recommendation or a decision of the standing IRT. There is also a suggestion for the working group to revisit the recommendations of the policy and implementation working group mentioned in the initial report on page 25. Okay, so those are the suggestions coming in from the ALAC on this question. And then below that, line 30, from the business constituency, provides guidance for criteria to determine how an issue should be resolved. So again, this is about the framework must be a representational of the community. A determination could be made on the level of impact to the existing policies and processes, perhaps a ranking of the impact of the change needed to help determine the mechanism required. And they suggest a change to the process that does not violate policy may not need as much review as a change that would require policy. And there's one final comment on this question from the registry stakeholder group, again, providing guidance for the criteria to determine how an issue should be resolved. And the registry stakeholder group suggests it should be made clear at the outset that not all implementation issues should be referred through existing mechanisms at the GNSO disposal. Only those items that have a broad impact to the community should be subject to the GNSO processes. So to the extent that the impact is only on applicants, these issues should not necessarily go back to the entire GNSO community to resolve, unless the proposed resolution of the issues is in direct conflict with the applicant guidebook. Okay, so we've got a number of suggestions here on this question, and some are very general and some are very specific. Does anyone see anything developing here in terms of pattern or something that we should take back from these issues to the working group? I see we've got two hands, Jeff and then Kathy. Please, Jeff, go ahead.
Can't hear you, Jeff.
Jeff, I don't hear you if you're speaking.
Jeff, we still can't hear you. Okay, he's going to call in.
Okay, I see he says in the chat box he's going to call in. So why don't we go to Kathy next in the queue, and then we'll come back to Jeff when he can get his audio back on. Okay, Kathy, please go ahead.
Sure. There seem to be a number of inputs on kind of categorizing the type of change that would be going through the IRT. And that there seem to be new ideas, and I was wondering if it's worth creating a coupling of these to put them together, new ideas for when an idea is so close to policy that it should be should not go to the standing IRT, but should go to the larger GNSO, versus when it's kind of, you know, connecting dots between two technical details or existing policy. So I see an emergence, and I wondered if other people did, and whether that could be presented to the working group as a set of new ideas. Thanks, Robin.
Thank you, Kathy. That's a really good suggestion to pull something like that together, and I expect we should be able to do something like that. Jeff, are you able to speak?
Yeah, I think so. Can you guys hear me?
Perfect. Thank you.
Yes, we do.
Great. Okay. Sorry about that. Not sure what happened. I heard some of what Kathy was saying, but I think my comment was a little bit different in the sense of things that I saw kind of jumping out were, you know, it seemed like with the new ideas, if there were some patterns, it would be things like handling things on a case-by-case basis. So there may not be a way to have, you know, certain rules govern everything. Using existing mechanisms to the extent possible seemed like a theme in a couple of those comments, and then looking at either urgency, impact, when deciding where those issues and how those issues should be resolved. So I think if I were to read the comments, those were some elements of the new ideas that kind of jumped out. And I don't think actually, if I remember reading that section of the report, I don't think those are actually new ideas, at least those aspects of it. I think those are agreeing with what we already have in the recommendations, unless I'm mistaken, so someone can jump in. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Jeff. I think you're right that it might be a little bit misleading when we characterize these as new ideas, because really it's just something that drills down a little bit deeper into the direction that we were heading already. And yes, it's kind of like a new idea to get us where we want to go, but it's wildly divergent from, you know, what we've been doing before this particular comment came in. Kathy has her hand up. Kathy, please go ahead.
Yeah, this is Kathy Kleiman. But there does seem to be a pattern of, say, look at the registry stakeholder group in line 18, and I'm on the table at Google with the spreadsheet, which is the only way to see those line numbers. And so registry stakeholder group is just one of several groups saying that there has to be guidelines for determining what goes to the standing IRT versus what goes to other GNSO procedures, what's an minor operational change versus presumably something much more important, something more policy-oriented. So I'm not sure if it's similar or different, but it is certainly different than a standing IRT outright with full responsibilities. So I do think there's the essence of a different type of idea here that could be encapsulated. Thanks.
Great. Thank you very much, Kathy. Anne, you are next in the queue. Please go ahead, Anne.
Thank you, Robin. It's Anne Aikman-Scalise for the transcript. I think that the new ideas, they do have to be read in connection with whether there's actual agreement on the standing IRT, because I think agreement on the standing IRT reflects, if it exists, reflects, you know, a framework that will help process all these other questions and new ideas. So I don't know if we're seeing agreement on the standing IRT or not, but it would be really important that we, you know, coalesce around that particular element. And then I did want to note that these questions of people continuing to try to define if there's an implementation issue, whether it's policy or whether it's minor and implementation, there are some already existing procedures in GNSO operating procedures to address that. And in fact, any council member of the GNSO, if they think there's a policy issue involved, they can invoke a process to raise it before GNSO. So, as we're considering new ideas, we need to consider those in light of the existing framework and the rules that were already adopted by the board. Thank you.
Thanks, Anne. And I know in the chat, Kathy has added there is disagreement on the standing IRT, and what I was hoping is that some of the new ideas might provide a roadmap to compromise. Okay, did anyone else in the queue on this issue or have any other thoughts? Jeff has his hand up. Jeff, please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. Just on that last point, because I think it does, there's a couple things I want to just address. And the first one that Kathy brought up, that I think it was Kathy or maybe it was both Kathy and Ann, that yes, this section obviously relies on the previous section. So to the extent that there is a standing IRT, then this question would would be relevant. Obviously, if the group has decided that there's not going to be a standing IRT, then, you know, this question would probably just get thrown out because it's really only talking about that kind of thing. But at the end of the day, when you go back to the comments that were initially on the standing IRT, and we talked about this the last time, and I want to make sure that, not that I want to redrudge over old ground, but essentially most of the comments seemed to be in favor. There were some concerns expressed, and I think there was one that was divergent. And again, I'm not weighing those at all. I'm just saying it's just looking at them. Unfortunately, and I heard what Kathy said about, you know, we're hoping that the new ideas kind of address those concerns. Unfortunately, the group that was divergent did not file an answer to this question with any new ideas. So perhaps it's worth going back to the group that was clearly divergent on this issue, which I think was the NCSG, if I'm not mistaken. I'm just going back a little ways. It's worth, you know, as we try to get something that might help, as Kathy said, I'm not finding it now, roadmap to compromise, perhaps we can then get the NCSG. So I think this was 222 or 221. I don't remember the number, sorry. But I think that was the one that was, for the most part, divergent. There were others that expressed concerns, but I think that was the only one that was divergent. And I'm looking at section 2.2.2.C. My eyes are killing me here. Point one. So perhaps that's worth kind of jotting down, is to go to the NCSG, who was clearly divergent, and ask them if there's new ideas for compromise. Thanks.
Thanks, Jeff. I see there's a couple of hands in the Adobe Connect, Anne, and then Kathy. Anne, please go ahead.
I apologize. Old hand, I'm lowering it. Sorry.
No worries at all. Kathy, that means you are up. Go ahead, please.
Sure. And I apologize because I must have missed a meeting somewhere here. But I think a stakeholder group being divergent is a big deal. I'm just saying that. Also, there was another divergent opinion that was not the stakeholder group. It was from the Electronic Frontier Foundation, the Samuelson Glusko Canadian Internet Policy and Public Interest Clinic, which is Michael Geist's, Public Knowledge, and others, and they submitted also very strong objections, which are listed. So at least two very divergent opinions. I don't think it's the obligation of a stakeholder group when they're divergent to come up with the compromise. But what you're hearing and what we're seeing in these comments is a pattern of, no, IRTs don't do policy, because the registries are commenting about that as well. So it's not just... it's not just NCSG's job. They're objecting right out. I'm the one who's kind of suggesting there might be a compromise, but also that these new ideas should be played with. But right now, there's a strong divergence from the non-commercial community on this, that this isn't fair. And again, registries and others, we're not hearing, there's a real concern about the IRT handling minor operational changes versus the IRT handling policy, and we heard this as well in Barcelona. So I really think it's important to make a note of it, about this. There is not general agreement on this, and there are very, very deep concerns. And there's a group of stakeholder groups and others presenting some ideas in the middle. And I think that's where I'm highlighting, is let's highlight what's in the middle, because it may create a bridge. But no, I wouldn't just go back to non-commercial stakeholder group, because right now they're divergent. They're saying no. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. We've got a couple other hands in the queue here. Jeff and then Anne. Please, Jeff, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. I'll put aside the characterizations at this point, because I think we're too early to kind of put characterizations of agreement and disagreement. But I do think we should go back to those groups that were divergent and to say, is there anything that would take them from divergent to okay if certain conditions are made, or alternatively, right? Are there the groups that did say okay? Are they fine with not okay? I think at the end of the day, there's going to have to be a recommendation to the full working group, and the full working group is going to need to discuss it and make a call one way or the other. And then when that call is made, then it'll be up to Cheryl and I as overall leads to determine whether there's consensus on what the full working group has come out with as their recommendation. So I differ a little bit from Kathy there, where if we can, it would be good to go to the groups that were divergent to see if there's anything that would get them from divergent to support, or what it was specifically that was the issue. I think you could see from the comment from the NCSG initially, I think there was a fear, and I think I heard it from Kathy as well, that it seems like there's a fear from those that are divergent that this IRT will be a substitute for policy development. And I don't think that was the intent and wasn't the wording of the standing IRT. And if there's ways to clarify that in the wording, again, this is all kind of for the full group, but if there's a way to clarify that, then maybe we can get to a full or a compromise or a road to a compromise. But sorry, I went on a little bit too long, but essentially I do believe it's appropriate to go back to groups that may not agree with the working group determination to see if there's anything that can be a compromise. Thanks.
Thanks, Jeff. That's a good idea, actually, is to try to build in the kind of protection that would help make some of these concerns be alleviated. And, you know, so I think that's a really helpful comment. We've got Anne, and then we've got Michael. Anne, please.
Thanks, Robin. It's Anne. I agree with the idea of going back to these groups, but I do think we also have to clarify something, which is Kathy had said that the concern is that the IRT would make policy, but under the existing GNSO guidelines, an IRT and even a standing IRT is not at all empowered to make policy. They might raise a red flag that they could send to the GNSO for consideration on an issue that, you know, looks like policy. They certainly have no authority under, you know, the current operating procedures for constituting an IRT. They have no authority to make policy. So if there's a fear underlying these comments that somehow that the IRT is going to make policy, that shouldn't happen based on the existing rules. And I think the great thing about a standing IRT, personal comment, is just that it clearly identifies what does and does not have to be brought before the GNSO and its representative of the community. And I agree, the existing guidelines already say that the requisite technical expertise should be required in the constitution of the IRT. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Anne. That's really helpful. Next in the queue is Michael Casa-Duval. Michael, please.
So the one point I want to bring out here is that there is a running trend against having multiple rounds, at least unpredictable. Skipping ahead a bit, this response is copied over and over and over again. It's not just a divergence here. It's a problem with the idea and concept as a whole. And we'll see this again. This has also been discussed that basically the state, a lot of the stakeholders diverge on the concept of having rounds entirely. And that was Michael Cassidy-Wall for the transcript.
Thanks very much, Michael. Okay, I see next in the queue is Jeff. Jeff, please.
Yeah, thanks. And I think hopefully we can try to wrap this part up, because I think, you know, we've kind of run into a little bit of a danger of talking too much other substance that's really kind of the purview of the full working group. But I think it's really important that when we're analyzing these comments, that, you know, we have to consider what the initial report says. And I think, and I agree with Anne, I think Anne's kind of interpreted everything the right way as or I shouldn't say the right way, sorry, that's a judgment statement. Anne has Anne's comments were in line with what the initial report had said, which is that existing mechanisms to handle policy and, you know, but there obviously there are concerns, and that's something that we're going to have to bring to the full group. But we need to be careful about just making generalized statements of, we need to be careful of making generalized statements, especially if the initial report actually said something different, with the exception of if we think there's language to make the initial report better for when it goes to a final report, or if it goes to a final report, you know, if that can be clarified. So if people say, well, look, you're saying the initial report said this, but it wasn't clear, well, then that's our job then to make it clear. So that's the one exception. But let's try to stay a little bit off the actual substance of whether we support or don't support the notion of a standing IRT. Let's really drill into the comments, see if there's common ground, determine patterns, go back for clarification if there are any, and then also make sure that we can be in a position to recommend something to the full working group. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Jeff. I see Kathy's got her hand up, and then we'll close the queue on this particular issue so we can move on to the next section after this. I do worry that we're drilling down a little too deeply into the substance of some of these comments. So, Kathy, please, go ahead.
Yeah, just very briefly, Kathy Kleiman. I'm concerned that serious disagreement comments are being dismissed as not understanding the report. I don't think that's the case. So I think we have to present them as serious disagreements and objections to the standing IRT. They present their reasons. So I'm just saying that we can't dismiss this as a misinterpretation. I promise you it's not. Thanks.
All right. Thank you very much for that comment. I think we can move on to the next question here in the public comment, which would be line 32, and that's number 2.2.2.E.4. And the question is, do you have thoughts on the open questions or details related to the standing IRT panel discussed in section F below? Is there a different structure, process, or body possibly already existing that might help provide needed predictability in addressing issues raised post-launch? Okay, so we got two comments back on this particular question, one from the ALAC and one from the Registry Stakeholder Group, and both of them have some concerns and bring in new ideas, so let's deal with these two comments in a little bit of detail as well. So the ALAC comment on line number 33 says it suggests additional conversation and a separate process to address the details for the standing IRT. The ALAC believes more extensive deliberation is required on the open questions details regarding the standing IRT panel and a separate process outside of this working group's present public comment process is warranted to address the same. Okay, and anybody want to get in on this particular comment from the ALAC? Any thoughts about how to take this one forward? And then we can move on to the one from the Registry Stakeholder Group underneath it. Okay, I don't
see or hear anyone, I think it's, you know, it's an interesting idea that additional conversation and more details regarding this panel should be created. And I think actually that kind of dovetails into what we were just talking about just a few minutes ago about, you know, trying to build this process out a little bit more concretely in such a way that it ensures that the concerns that we have won't actually, you know, be able to come about in the final implementation of the IRC. Yes, Jeff, I see you have your hand up. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. So on this one, and actually Kathy and I agree on this one. I think that I'd like to know, you know, obviously the first part of their comment is it's basically that they need that open questions need to really be answered, that we can't have open questions, I think. So that makes total sense. I don't think that needs clarification. I think the second part with a separate process outside of this working group's comment is warranted to address the same. So I think we probably should go to the ALAC representative, the liaison, not the representative, small L liaison. And I think we should see what's behind that comment. What are they talking about, a separate process? Other than, of course, that, you know, the full working group's gonna see if we can answer some of those, if not all of those outstanding questions. But at the end of the day, after the policy is decided on, ultimately there will be, according to the GNSO policies, an IRT, an implementation review team, that's going to even try to provide more complete definition to the extent that there still are open questions. So I think we should go back to the ALAC and explain to them, well, this is what's going to happen. Is there still a need for something again, some other process, like what is meant by that? Thanks. And let's
thanks very much,
let's read
Jeff.
Michael. Nope. Oh, yeah, sorry. I was going to just ask you, Robin, to read Michael's comment into the record, and then maybe I can respond to that.
Okay, sure. Michael in the chat box says, it's concerning that when we see object across the board and we just move right along, there was a lack of support at all for that, and that comment is again repeated in a bunch of other settings. Okay, Jeff, did you want to respond to that comment?
Yeah, just a quick response. There was not objection across the board for the standing IRT. There were a number of groups. Again, this is in a section we covered on a previous call. So there were a number of groups that supported it outright, and there were a number of groups that supported it but had some concerns around, I shouldn't say the edges because that's a loaded word. There were people that supported the concept of the standing IRT but then also had some concerns about too many unanswered questions or whatever. There were concerns around, there weren't concerns about the notion of having a standing IRT. There was concerns about different aspects of it. So I know what was said earlier on this call, but I don't. We're not glossing over any objections. We will certainly present those to the full working group, but I just didn't want it on here in the record. It's not a full. I don't think you could even say that. Well, never mind. There was certainly a number of groups that actually did support that notion. Thanks.
Thanks, Jeff. Did anyone else want to weigh in on this particular issue, this particular question in the public comment? All right. Well, I don't see any hands or hear any voice. So let's move on to the next question. And in the spreadsheet, the Google Doc, that would be line 35. And that's question number 2.2.2.E.5. How do you see the proposed predictability framework interacting with the existing GNSO procedures known as the GNSO input process? GNSO guidance process, and the GNSO expedited PDP. Okay, so again, this is the last question that's been asked in the predictability topic, generally speaking, but we've got a number of responses on this one, and there's a few that are in agreement and a few with new ideas and a few with concerns. So I was thinking we would just quickly go through, well, I say quickly, try quickly to go through each one of these because they all do seem to have somewhat some different ideas. Even the ones that have some agreement also have some divergence and new ideas, that sort of thing. Okay, so let's look at the first comment received on this question, and that would be line 36 in the Google Doc, and this is a comment from the ALAC. There's sort of general agreement is how this has been characterized, or more precisely, does not see conflict. There is a new idea, however. So the ALEC suggests that if the standing IRT is limited in scope and time, there should not be overlap. So I should also mention that the ALEC welcomes a public comment process, although further consideration is warranted on whether all operational changes should be subject to public comment, in noting that all fundamental possible policy impact changes to the program must always go through a GNSO procedure. Okay, again, we don't want to, you know, sort of debate the merits of the different comments, but in terms of the characterization of this, and do we see general agreement on one hand, and also a new idea, a new suggestion for how to take it forward as well? Anybody want to weigh in on this comment? Yes, Jeff, please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. My question's on, I'm rereading the blue text again that was classified as a new idea, and I'm not sure why that's a new idea. So I'm trying to, you know, part of this is my own fault because I might have classified it as a new idea the first time I went through it, but now as I'm rereading it and through all the discussions, I'm not sure that this is new. I think this is just a comment on the, I don't know, maybe if others think that this is new. I think this is could either be a concern or, sorry, as I'm reading it through, I guess the new idea is whether the whole notion of whether all operational changes should be subject to public comment, but then I'm trying to fit that into what was in the initial report, and I'm not sure that the initial report said otherwise, but maybe someone can correct me on that. So I think I'm not at all dismissing this comment. I don't know if this is actually a new idea.
Okay, thanks, Jeff. Steve, did you have I thought I saw you typing there, and I thought maybe you had an answer to this question. Yes, please.
Hi, Robin. Thanks. This is Steve Champ from staff, and I will do my best to try to recollect what was in the report. So the part of the framework, it tries to draw distinctions in how things should be treated. You know, based on whether or not it's operational or more fundamentally policy-related. But part of that was also trying to draw a distinction when the changes might need a public comment. So I think in highlighting the blue part, is as Jeff said, it's the new idea would be that, you know, any changes that come out of the standing RT would warrant public comment. So I think that was why it was highlighted. So. Rather than trying to draw a distinction, everything would then require public comment. Thanks.
Thanks very much for that clarification, Steve. And I note that Anne types in the chat a comment. She says, I think we may need to ask the ALAC liaison to clarify the comment. Okay. I think that's probably a very good suggestion. Anybody else want to weigh in on this? Kathy, yes, please go ahead.
Yeah, it's Kathy Kleiman. It does seem like a new idea to me. It's one of those kind of ongoing ideas that would modify the standing IRT. And because of the way the numbers are done, you have to repeat suggestions multiple times, you have that possibility. And so, you know, even if it's mentioned somewhere else, they're mentioning it here. So, and I think that's important. I also wanted to note that both the NCSG and public interest community comments do address this question line 35 directly. So I think that they should be added down here as well, not taken out of where they are, but added here. We had this issue that those groups that don't necessarily have professional comment writers and things like that looked at larger umbrella topics, but I think we agreed that to the extent that their comments are relevant to specific questions, they should go in. So again, I think NCSG, significant sections of NCSG and the public interest comments belong here as well, because they address this question directly. Thanks.
Thanks, Kathy. I think we should be able to get them added into this section before our call next week. Anybody else want to weigh in on this question? Specifically the ALEC comment on this question, which is on line 36. Okay, I don't see any new hands. Then let's go on to the next comment, which is from the business constituency. And again, it's agreement, or more precisely, does not see conflict. The VC suggests that the GNSO is responsible for enacting recommendations coming out of the predictability framework. The GNSO would govern whatever mechanism is used in the predictability framework. Since the GNSO Council is currently reviewing PDP processes, and we now have a working EPDP process, we should keep these in mind for the predictability framework. Okay. Again, this is general agreement. Anybody want to weigh in on this? Kathy, I see your hand is up. Is that a new hand?
Sorry, old hand, Robin. I'll take it down.
No worries. Okay, thank you. Okay, no comments on the BC comment, so we can move down to the one under that, which would be line 38 and the registry stakeholder group. Again, it's agreement, but there are concerns about representation in the GIP and the GGP, and does not believe an EPDP is appropriate. So, again, this is sort of in conflict with what we just heard, but we're not here to debate the merits of the different proposals, just to sort of try to categorize them. The registry stakeholder group says the GNSO input process and GNSO guidance process could interact with the predictability framework, but may not be appropriate in all cases or accessible in all cases. We need additional input on the EPDB. So the registry stakeholder group does not see an EPDP as an appropriate solution to sort out the issues identified during an application process. While issues that arise during subsequent rounds may be eligible to initiate an EPDPD, the registry stakeholder group believes the EPDP process is not as scalable as alternative processes that might be available to applicants concerning the time and effort needed to conduct and complete an EPDP in a timely manner. Okay, I see Anne has her hand up on this comment. Please, Anne, go ahead.
Oh, thank you, Robin. I think that it seems they're saying, well, you know, an EPDP can be too cumbersome, and maybe it, you know, the comment results in part from the fact that we're in the middle of one and it's not very fast. But I also note that there are two other processes that are shorter, but, you know, in terms of the substance of it, the determination of which process to be used is based on how significant the policy issue is. Now, I was going to note that in the ALAC comment, they state, and I think this is listed as a new idea, but it's really not, and this is cell 29. The WG is also urged to revisit the recommendations of the Policy and Implementation Working Group mentioned in the initial report on page 25. I don't think that that's a new idea in the sense of, I mean, I guess what they're saying is, hey, we recommend the full working group look at what the recommendations are on page 25 of the Policy and Implementation Working Group. And I think that that's a good idea for the full working group to do. And I think that by the word revisit, what they mean is, you know, look at what this working group did. I don't think they mean revisit in the terms of, like, reconsider or change. So it would be good to get a clarification from them as to what they do mean by this, but it would also be good for the full working group to actually look at what the ALAC suggested that we look at from Policy and Implementation Working Group work. Now, there was a final report. It was adopted by the board. And there may be some frustration with how long it takes to do an EPDP, but when you're making policy, if the issue really involves policy, it's hard to do it in a short manner, as we see from this very process.
Thanks very much for that, Anne. I see we've got a couple other hands up. Jeff and then Michael. Please go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, thanks. On the registry comment, I don't have any, I'm not going to talk substance here, but I think the shorthand that we have in the fourth column where it says agreement and then it says concerns about representation, I think when I read concerns about reputation, I tend to think of, concerns about, it's not really concerns about representation. It's really concerns about having applicants be represented, I think is the real, because I don't read from the registry's comment, and I wasn't one who helped put that together. So. But I don't read that they're concerned with how a GIP and GGP are, how the representation there is determined. I read it as they want to make sure that applicants who aren't normally considered as part of the GGP, GIP stuff, that they want to make sure applicants are represented. So I'd like us to reword that concern appropriately. Thanks.
Thanks, Jeff. And maybe this is another instance where it's appropriate for us to go back to the comment drafters and ask them if we've mischaracterized this, because we certainly don't want to do that. Okay. I see Michael has his hand up. Michael, please go ahead.
Jeff covered most of what I was going to say, but I read this comment and I don't see agreement. I see divergence, because it says it could work, but they don't think applicants are represented properly in the GNSO. I mean, this doesn't read as agreement to me. This reads as concern/divergence. I think the correct action here is to go back to the registry stakeholder group and have them clarify this comment, because I've read it three times, and I cannot see an agreement here, unless I really squint. So that's my two cents on it.
Great. Thanks very much. So we do see a number of concerns along the same line here, so I think we've got a pretty clear direction on how to handle this one going forward. Anybody else want to get in the queue on this one? Shall we move on to the IPC comment, which is next? Okay, I don't see any hands, so let's go on to the next comment, which is from the intellectual property constituency,
and line 39 in the Google Doc, and it's characterized as concern. So the IPC says the standing panel should determine what is in its mandate, and the GNSO leadership should be able to challenge the determination. The standing panel's first job will be to determine whether this is something that is within its mandate or whether it should go to the GNSO under one of its processes. The GNSO leadership should be able to challenge that determination as a check and balance to make sure that the panel is not exceeding its scope or mandate or doing things that are rightfully within the GNSO's jurisdiction. Okay, so anyone have any thoughts on this comment, how it's been characterized as concerns? And again, I see there's a little suggestion here for how those concerns could be alleviated. Jeff has his hand up. Yes, Jeff, please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. I want to make sure we characterize this one right, so it's not on the comment itself, but it seems like the particular concern here, again, is not on the standing panel. It's basically on who has the right to determine whether something is within its mandate or the GNSO's mandate or not. And the report says that the standing panel is the one that's going to make a call as to whether this is something that should go before the full, before the GNSO, or whether it's something that is really for ICANN, an issue that ICANN itself needs to handle or whatnot. Because remember, this is all coming up during applications. So I think we need to be careful when we it's a concern, but it's a concern about specifically about who has the right to determine whether something falls within the standing panel's scope. So I just want to make it a little bit more explicit. Thanks.
Thanks, Jeff. And it looks like the phone lines have really heated up here, as they say. We've got a queue forming of Michael and Kathy and then Ann and then Jim. Michael, please go ahead.
So, again, this is another comment where this is actually the inverse of the previous one. I see this as agreement or does not conflict, because the only thing that they're challenging here is specifically what the standing panel has as its mandate. It's not talking against the idea. It's just looking for clarification. So I think this one should have a green flag on it and not just concern, unless I'm misunderstanding what the green flag is for. But I'm not actually seeing something here that is a disagreement.
Okay, thanks for that, Michael. Next in the queue, we have Ann. Ann, please go ahead.
Thanks, Robin. It's Ann for the transcript. I would tend to agree with Michael. I think that this does reflect agreement, and I also want to note that these issues of who can raise a question and who determines the question, they are very specifically addressed in the procedures that were adopted by the Policy and Implementation Working Group. And it's clear that an IRT, standing or otherwise, can't make policy determinations. If it, you know, thinks that there's not a policy issue involved and makes an implementation recommendation, it's also very clear in the procedures that any member of the GNSO Council can raise an issue about that and bring it before Council as to whether or not it's policy. So, and it's true what Kathy said, I commented, you know, one person's policy is another person's implementation and vice versa, depending upon how you feel about the issue. But through the work of the Policy and Implementation Working Group, there were mechanisms put in place to address this, in that the IRT can make recommendations. It can tell GNSO, hey, we think there might be a policy issue here, or, you know, policy guidance, or could you give us, you know, some input? But it's also possible for any council member to bring that issue before the full council. And historically, the reason for that was because there was a big issue that GNSO Council was upset that ICANN staff didn't bring back before GNSO Council, because council thought that it was a policy issue that had violated existing policy, and others, you know, said, oh, no, it's implementation. And that was the whole reason for those guidelines being developed through a lengthy policymaking process. So I agree that there's, this actually should say agreement, and I'm not sure people are really familiar with what the operating guidelines on these things really say, and there are checks and balances in place. Thank you.
Thank you, Anne. Next in the queue is Kathy, and then Jim. Kathy, go ahead.
Let me defer to Jim. Thanks. And then follow him. Thanks.
Okay, this is like backseas, frontseas cutting in grammar school lines. So Jim Prendergast, somewhat tied into what Jeff said, I'm just going to plant the flag for folks that in the group C, or I think that we met earlier, there was a similar question as to what is within or with not within the purview of the subpro working group when it comes to GAC objections, and that's something I think we kicked to the plenary level. So another area where what is within the purview of this policymaking process is something that we're going to have to tackle at some point down the road. Thanks.
Thank you, Jim. Kathy, you have the
floor. Yeah. I have the floor now. Thanks, this is Kathy. To all those who want to reassure us that IRTs stay within their mission, that is not historically the case. And we're seeing some terrible divergences by the IRT and a lot of pressure on the IRT given, so proxy privacy, let's just pick on them because they're stayed, but there's been a lot of pressure on them to revisit policy. And in the review of all rights protection mechanisms, it's still out there, but there's real concern that the IRT went against existing policy. Now, there may be ways to appeal it. I'm not sure people know about them, but I think the concerns are deeply, deeply rooted about IRTs in the community. So I don't want to, you know, I don't want to second guess what, you know, Anne, because I think you're probably a drafter of this comment, so, you know, your decision would, you know, your characterization would hold. But this idea of raising the flag, I think there's a pattern now of raising the flag of what's policy and what's implementation. And God help us if the IRT is the one that determines that. That's not fair. And I think you're seeing a lot of, you know, without going too much into the substance, I think you're seeing a lot of people raise procedural concerns. And that, those procedural concerns are well established in light of history. Thanks.
Thank you, Kathy. Did anybody else want to weigh in on this comment, this IPC comment in particular? I don't see any new hands. Okay, so then let's go on to the next one, which would be item number 41. And this one is from the GOTLD group, who raises concerns, or more precisely, a suggestion to improve predictability and why it's critical. Okay, so the GOTLD group says improved predictability and longer lead times are needed, especially for GOTLDs. For future rounds, we have to improve and provide GOTLD applicants and the respective governments a more trustworthy and reliable framework with enough lead time to clarify and cater for government processes. So it looks like the concern that's being raised here has to do with the timing, the lead timing in particular. Anybody want to comment on the characterization of this one? Okay, I see we've got a couple hands. Oh, one hand. Michael, and then Jeff. Go ahead, Michael.
Old hand, sorry.
No worries. Jeff, you are up, Ed.
I think mine is an older hand. So I think on this one, we're almost switching gears here, because this is a concern about how the last process was not predictable enough, as opposed to concerns about the predictability model. So I think we need to make sure that we separate this a little bit more, because we've changed gears. So we need to make sure that, again, this should be labeled as concerns with the predictability of the last round, which I think is actually agreement with what the initial report says. I think everybody in the initial report, I think the initial report and everybody agrees with that there were issues about predictability in the last round. So I actually view the first paragraph as, or actually the first two paragraphs, I'm just trying to read the third one. In fact, I think all of that should be green as agreement, because it agrees with the initial report that talks about how the last round was very problematic and not predictable enough. So I would put that as green as opposed to a concern.
Okay, thanks for that, Jeff. And I note in the chat, Martin Sutton says he agrees with Jeff. Okay, I think that's right. Okay, so should we, did anybody else want to weigh in on this comment? I actually think it's worth noting the next several comments are all very similar to the one we just discussed. So we probably should have discussed them as a group, because they pretty much all say more or less the same thing. We've got, in addition to the TLD group, is the Dot Berlin comment. Under that is the Hamburg top-level domain comment. And all of these are calling for an improved predictability and longer lead times, especially for geo TLDs. So I don't think we really need to discuss each one of these individually, because they're all kind of making the same point. I see. Jeff, is that a new hand?
Yeah, just to, again, re-raise the comment that all of these should be green as agreement. I think we need to, I believe, and maybe this is a question for the small LLL, as we're calling them, the liaison, because we did get one from the GOTLDs. I believe that Hamburg and Dot Berlin are on the executive committee of the GOTLD. So it's really, although it's in three separate comments, it's really, I believe, the same, it's really from the same party. So let's put them all as green. And just group the three together, because they say the same thing. Thanks.
Okay, thanks for that, Jeff. Anybody else want to weigh in on this issue and grouping all of these together as green? I know Steve types in the chat, the comments are literally identical, I believe. Yep. Okay, Donna has her hand up. Donna, go ahead.
Thanks, Robin. Donna Austin. So while I don't disagree that these comments are all pretty much identical and probably written by the same person, I'd be careful to suggest that we lump them together just because of that. I mean, the GOTLD group is a separate group from Hamburg and whoever the other one is, but they are different entities. So I think let's acknowledge that they're the same comments, but I would caution against lumping them together just because they have the same person was holding the pen. I'd hate to think that comments from the registry stakeholder group and comments from Newstar were lumped together just because I was holding the pen on both sets of comments. So I think we need to be a little bit, I'd like to caution against that. Thanks.
Thanks, Donna. I think that's right, although I think in this case they were grouped together because they were making the same point. They were all saying the same thing, which was that we need improved predictability and longer lead times are needed, especially for GTLD. So I think that's an important distinction. But I think we're okay with the grouping in this context. Did anybody else want to weigh in on this point? Yes, Jeff, please go ahead.
Yeah, I just I wanted to just make the point, just a quick response to Donna. These were identical wording, and I'm not saying that just because someone's a member of one group or another that they should automatically be grouped together. But then again, when we do weigh the comments, if there are comments that are completely identical from the same people who run, yes, they're from different organizations, but they're identical. We just need to be careful. Ultimately, at the end of the day, there's going to have to be some sort of weighting by Cheryl and I when we make a determination for a consensus. And it's important to note that if there are identical comments and the same person was, the same entities were involved, that may or may not give additional weight. So I'm not. Everything is going to have to be taken on a case-by-case basis when these comments come in. But these were identical, they're in this case they deserve to be grouped together the way we're talking about it, and also changed to agreement as opposed to concerns. Thanks.
Thanks, Jeff. Would anyone else like to weigh in on this group of comments, or shall we move on to the next one? Okay, I don't see any new hands, hear any new voices, so let's go on to line item number 44. And, this is a comment from Christopher Wilkinson, and he has concerns about the focus of the framework and about the policy development process. So Christopher says, whereas the predictability is equally important from the perspective of the ultimate final users or third parties, and that would be impacted by the new TLDs, he says one could equally well argue that those problems arose from a lack of multi-stakeholder consultation during the previous policy development process. For example, the requirement for enforceable public interest commitments or their equivalent was manifestly inevitable and desirable long before the matter reached the application stages. Okay. So I guess the issue here is we've characterized this one as concerns about focus and framework of the policy development process. Anyone have any thoughts on this particular characterization? Jeff, I see your hand is up. Is that a new hand? Ah, it's an old hand. Okay. Anybody want to weigh in on this characterization of this comment? Okay, I don't see any hands or hear any voices. So the next comment is also from Christopher Wilkinson, and this would be line 45, and it looks like it's the final comment in our group here. And so this comment, again, is concerned and with the predictability of the standard implementation review team. The comment says, in what sense has the ICANN board a duty to respect the IRT? Also, in the light of the complexities of the proposed IRT, who is responsible for its creation, with what budgetary resources or authority? What is not in the draft report? Okay, so it leaves us with a bunch of questions here rather than comments per se. Okay, so they're characterized as concerns. Does anyone want to weigh in on this comment? This characterization, or we're wrapping up the predictability
topic generally here. So anyone have anything further to say on this one, on the overall topic of the predictability, 2.2.2? Okay, I don't see any hands or hear any voices. So we can move on to the next issue, which is clarity of the application process, which is number 2.2.2.2. And I believe Jeff is going to pick this particular topic up and run with it. Am I right?
Correct, yes. I could have played a joke and just thanks, Robin. I could have played a joke and just for a minute left you hanging and said, no, I thought you were doing it. So I think I recognize we only have about a little over 10 minutes left, but I think we can cover this first question because it seems like there was general agreement, at least on this first part of, I love going through these numbers, 2.2.2.2.C.1. So this one, basically, it seems like a pretty obvious recommendation, which explains why it got a lot of agreement, but it basically said that when substantive disruptive changes to the applicant guidebook or application process are necessary and made through the predictability framework discussed above, there should be a mechanism that allows impacted applicants the opportunity to either A, request an appropriate refund, or B, be tracked into a parallel process that deals with the discrete issues directly without impacting the rest of the program. So we had comments here from the GOTLD group, Doc Berlin and Hamburg, which I believe, again, were, and Steve, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think those were exact same texts from all three of those comments. Then we had a comment from ALAC, the Brand Registry group, Newstar, the Registry Stakeholder Group, the Business Constituency, INTA, the International Trademark Association, and with Validaeus. And I should state, as always, when we go over comments, I do work for Validaeus, as many of you know, but I had no role in drafting the comments for Validaeus. So I'm reading these for the first time like you all. Or I should say I have read them because I've read all these comments, but I read it for the first time after it was submitted. So the first three comments essentially are, like I said, agreement that, they talk about the lack of clarity in the 2012 round and point out some specific examples of where there was lack of clarity. And ultimately, they state in the paragraph that's green, for that reason, we fully support this comment and regarding a mechanism that would allow impacted applicants to request a refund or be tracked into a parallel process that deals with these issues without impacting the rest of the program. And then it says we strongly recommend that both the applicant guidebook and the registry agreement are provided in their final version at the beginning of the program, which actually does deal with a different group that's looking at the registry agreement, although we deal with the applicant guidebook, so this will come up again. So those three comments are all fully, we believe, in agreement with what the initial report had said. And I'm looking if anyone's got any comments, because I do want to get through this. I'm looking at the chat, and I'm looking at the hands raised. The ALAC also seems to talk about there should be greater transparency vis-a-vis impacted applicants and notifying them of material changes, inform them clearly of the consequences and their options, rights resulting from those changes. We classified that as agreement as well. The Brand Registry Group says that they support the recommendation and there should be a predictable way to handle any unforeseen changes, and then it's appropriate to have this option, the option to proceed or request a refund if the consequences of the changes impact the applicant. Newstar, I think this is Newstar, hold on. Yep, Newstar supports the recommendation to as well, and they state that the applicant, same thing, that they should be able to request a refund if the, in the event the program changes and the application window is closed and the program change has a direct impact on their application. And then they point to impacts from the GAC advice, and then talk about that there should be a process for this. Registry stakeholder group supports the recommendation as well, and wants to give the applicant the freedom of choosing which option. And then going to the next comment, which is the business constituency. This is one that does have a cautionary note, where it supports the recommendation that if there are changes, they support the preliminary recommendation. But they do say, if it is a substantive change that would change an applicant's business model, a transparent process should be in place to allow the request to be submitted. I'm going to go back and question myself as to why we put this as a concern. This does sound to me like agreement. Maybe I can get Steve to help refresh my recollection. This does seem with agreement, right? It says if it is a substantive change that affects an applicant's business model, a transparent process should be in place to allow the request to be submitted. So do we put it as concern because it's got to be a transparent process? That may be something that differentiates it. Or maybe Jim or Ann know. So please, Jim.
Yeah, thanks, Jeff. It's Jim Prendergast. I don't know, but reading the question that they are answering, it doesn't say anything about transparency. So maybe it's a conditional agreement, but maybe that's why it's not a green agreement. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Jim. I think that might be it. I think you're right. The transparency note there is probably why we had put it as a concern. So I think that's right. But Anne, please.
Yeah, thanks, Jeff. I think Anne for the transcript. I think you guys hit on the word that results in it being concern, because unless I misunderstand the question, but transparent, I think, means that, you know, opportunity for public input. That doesn't necessarily mean public comment, but it could mean, you know, just that the proposal itself is somehow public, and there's, in the change in the business model, that there's a chance for the public to weigh in somehow, or the stakeholders at least. So I think transparency or transparent process is the concern.
Okay, let's, yeah, okay, we do have that in the next column. So let's, all right, so as we classified, it's general agreement, but there is a concern that, you know, that, or a recommendation, actually, if they have, that it should be a transparent process. And then there may be a couple others. There's a comment from the International Trademark Association, so I think there's a couple extra additional comments. Without reading the whole thing, INTA supports the recommendations that their applicant is given the opportunity to request a refund. But they do have here, there are some more concerns, and then maybe some of it's actually a new idea. So they're saying that a refund should be of the majority of the application fee. So that's actually a new idea. Where the withdrawal is due to changes imposed after submission, the applicant should not be more financially disadvantaged than possible. With regard to the alternative of being tracked into a parallel process, INTA believes that this also could be beneficial, subject to the following. One, this must be at the option of the applicant. They should not be obliged to proceed down a parallel track if their preference is to receive the refund. So I think that's new as well. I don't think that's a concern. I think that's a new idea. Let me just double check its agreement, because I think we do – well, the part that's agreement, number one, says that it should be at the option of the applicant, which I think agrees with what the initial report said. And then the second part is that they shouldn't be obliged to proceed down a particular path at the discretion of ICANN. They should have a choice. They talk about a parallel path should have a clear path and timeline to resolution. There are good reasons why parallel track should not impact the rest of it. So, and then, of course, they do say all applications submitted in a prior round must have priority over applications in any subsequent round, which I think is agreement, not necessarily with this section, but that last part is agreement with another section of the initial report where we do make a statement like that. So we should probably make sure that that last part is labeled as agreement, but it's agreement with a different section, so we'll have to make sure we link that to the section it agrees with. I'm looking around to see if there's any questions on that. Okay, not seeing any questions. The next one, which is Valdeus, this last one, and then we'll go to any other business. It supports the notion of a request for a refund, and it agrees with the concept of a parallel track to handle things that may only apply to certain applications without impacting the rest of the program. And but such process would need to be scoped and implemented in advance of the subsequent round commencing. So this is a comment on predictability, and I don't think it's a disagreement. It's a concern. It just wants to make sure, like this whole section, which is really dealing with predictability and clarity, that it is laid out in advance. Okay, I think we're coming up against time. Anyone have any comments? And then we'll start the next time on 2222E1. Any last comments? And then I'll also at the same time ask if there is any other business. Okay, not seeing any other business. Thank you, everyone. I know 90 minutes is a long call. Really appreciate you hanging in, and enjoy the rest of your evenings, mornings, or late nights. Thank you very much.
Thanks, everybody. Bye for now.
And thanks, everyone, for joining today. Meeting's adjourned. You can disconnect your line. Have a good rest of your day.